Well, good morning, Grace people.
Good morning.
And good morning to those of you who are joining online from wherever you are. I am both a fan and not a fan of rules. Okay, so I like some rules. I like people driving on the correct side of the road. I like people not taking my stuff. I like my kids following the directions when I give them to them, of course. But I'm also reading a couple of books, one a management book called First Break All the Rules, and another one is a creative handbook by Andrew Huang called Make Your Own Rules. So you can see what I think about the rules. I think in reality, most of us have a tenuous relationship with rules. There's a spectrum. Some people need to follow every rule. Like, yeah, if this is the rule, I need to stick to it because that's the right thing to do, and that's just what I'm going to do because I'm going to do it. And then there's others who the rules are over here, and they're like, oh, great, a rule. Ka-cha! I'm breaking it because it's there. Ha! Britta. And most people follow some, fall somewhere in between on that spectrum, which is just fine. You know, and depending on where you are on that spectrum, you get to decide which rules am I going to follow, which rules apply to me, and which ones am I going to ignore. And you're thinking, I don't ignore any rule. I'm like, speed limits, like deadlines, like putting our phones on airplane mode before takeoff or not, or maybe putting the dishes in the sink instead of next to the sink or in the dishwasher or just around the house, and maybe the not asking questions that you don't want the real answer to, you ask them anyway. Even within those rules, there's categorization, and there's a spectrum. There are legal rules, which are rules meant to keep society in order. There's civil laws that we follow. And then there's personal preferences made to keep order in the life of whoever has that preference, so they make those rules. And then who are the people that make these rules? There's at least two types of people, those who make the rules and those who think the rules don't apply to them, and those who make the rules and think things don't apply to them. And that's three types of people, even though I said two, so you know what kind of person I am, in the case there was any doubt. Then there are house rules. How we play a card game in my house, how we play Uno, might have slightly different rules than how you play a game at your house, or words that one family says are okay to use in the house. Maybe like other families say, actually, we don't say that word. That's not an okay word for us. There's different table etiquette. In families, there's way we communicate. There's rules about how we don't communicate. We don't talk about that. There's expectations about holidays. There's unspoken rules, and the list, of course, can go on and on. In fact, I'm even using rules right now. I'm using rules of communication and dialectic, and I'm speaking clearly, and I'm talking, and I'm looking people in the eye, and I'm adjusting my gaze and speaking at a pace you can hopefully understand sometimes, following a single train of thought, maybe. And I could choose to break those rules. Purple monkey dishwasher, hola. But does that help you understand my point? In this case, I think it does. Whether we like it or not, we live by rules, even if we live by breaking rules. But what would happen if we just ignored the rules?
In 50 meters, turn left.
No.
Huh?
Turn left here.
No, I don't want to.
Dad, what are you doing?
Did you just say no to sat nav?
Turn left, turn right. I'm sick of it telling me what to do.
Proceed to the route.
You proceed to the route. I do what I want.
You can't ignore sat nav.
Watch me.
But she's trying to help you find your surfboard.
She's bossing me around. That's what she's doing.
If you ignore sat nav, you're going to get lost.
Well, we'll see.
Turn right here.
No.
Continue straight for...
No, I don't think so, love.
Do a U-turn.
No, I'm good.
Proceed to the route.
Statue World!
Is your surfboard here?
No, I think we're lost.
We told you!
I love that they call the cemetery Statue World. Also, I think Bandit the Dad in that show is my spirit animal, truly. So maybe following the rules, you know, following the GPS when it's telling you how to get somewhere, maybe following the rules isn't so bad all the time. But when it comes to following Jesus, the reason we're here today, do you know the rules? Well, today we are in week two of exploring the letter of 1 Peter. We'll be looking at different New Testament letters throughout the summer. Pastor Darren shared with us last week that the church that the letter of 1 Peter was written to is like as if you were a sports fan at an away game, at a road game. You are in a place that's not your home team, and you're surrounded by other. And it's like, okay, whoa, how am I gonna be treated or seen here? Christians in exile at the time weren't surrounded by other believers. They didn't have favor of the current culture in Rome, but they were in a culture that was anywhere from indifferent to hostile toward them. A lot of the church at that time, in fact, facing persecution under Nero. Today, while we're not facing that kind of persecution by any means, culture is no longer necessarily cheering the church on. That's not where we are at. There can be some hostility or animosity. There can be some indifference. And a lot of people just have a bad taste in their mouth about the church and what Jesus' people stand for, which is, I think, hard, especially for I know so many of you work so hard at being true Jesus people, not just using his name. And those of us who call God our Father, we belong to God, and as Pastor Darren shared last week, we're the coach's kids. We're on the team, and there's nothing we can do. He's not going to kick us off the team because we're not good enough or whatever it might be. Despite being outsiders out there, we belong to God. So moving forward from there, we're talking about rules today, all right? Rules. And this makes a lot more sense after last week's message. So if you didn't hear it, just pause this message right now live. Go back and listen to it. Thank you for that chuckle. All right. If we're on a team, right? We're on a team. We must be playing a game. And if we're playing a game, there must be rules. Do you know the rules? Is there a rule book? Is there a rule book? I hear a yes. What is it? Bible. I accept that answer. Ding! Yay, the Bible. It's a great rule book. Honor your father and mother. In this stage of my life, that one, I love it. Don't kill or murder or steal. Don't take someone's spouse. Those are awesome rules. Then there's these, avoid tattoos. Don't trim the hair on the sides of your head or your beard, which I broke horribly yesterday. And truly, this is in scripture, when you go out to the toilet area, use the shovel to dig a hole. It's a rule book because we all follow all of the rules, right? You all did that this morning. Interesting. So we're all here to follow all the rules because all of the rules apply equally across all cultures at all times, right? And following all these rules is going to make us better, right? Some of you are giving that smug look like, I don't think so. This is a setup. It is. All right, friends, I want to share this. There are many Christians out there and sometimes in here, and I know because I've been one of these, that think the most important thing that we can do is to follow the rules and to get it right and make sure that we do all the right things the right way. Are there rules in Scripture? Absolutely. I don't want to discount that. There are excellent guides for living. Does it please God when we honor our parents and let people live? I say yes, absolutely. Let's continue doing those things. But let me be very clear that when it comes to our salvation, following the rules doesn't make you better. It doesn't put you in better standing. You don't get extra bonus heaven points for following the rules better or doing better. The Christian life is not just about acting and behaving better so that you can somehow earn something because that's what you're supposed to do because it's the right thing, because then you'll make God happy. That's not how it works. When it comes to salvation, following the rules doesn't make you better. Jesus makes you better. Jesus is the one who saves us. Jesus is the answer to our sin problem. We don't do things better just for the sake so that we can be saved and go to heaven someday. Jesus saves us now and into eternity, but also for this life. So out of thankfulness for him, we can continue to respond to his rules, his law and command in a way that gives us life. Because the life that comes from following God's rules should be one of healing and restoration and forgiveness, because that's what we see coming out of Jesus and his time on earth. And that life is truly life, not just for us, but for the whole world, that God wants to bless, who he loves. So Jesus is our Savior, and he's our example, so we should be able to learn how to follow the rules from him, right? Right. Let's go to it. Mark chapter 3. Jesus went into the synagogue, and a man with a shriveled hand was there. Some of the Pharisees and Sadducees were looking for a reason to accuse Jesus, so they watched him closely to see if he would heal him on the Sabbath. Jesus said to the man with the shriveled hand, "Stand up in front of everyone." Then Jesus asked them, "Which is lawful on the Sabbath? To do good or to do evil? To save life or to kill?" But they remained silent. He looked around them in anger and, deeply distressed at their stubborn hearts, said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." He stretched it out, and his hand was completely restored. Then the Pharisees went out and began to plot with the Herodians how they might kill Jesus. Another story, John chapter 8, verse 3. As Jesus was speaking, the teachers of religious law and the Pharisees brought a woman who had been caught in the act of adultery. They put her in front of the crowd. "Teacher," they said to Jesus, "this woman was caught in the act of adultery. The law of Moses says to stone her. What do you say?" They were trying to trap him into saying something they could use against him, but Jesus stooped down and wrote in the dust with his finger. They kept demanding an answer, so he stood up again and said, "All right, but let the one who has never sinned throw the first stone." Then he stooped down again and wrote in the dust. When the accusers heard this, they slipped away one by one, beginning with the oldest, until only Jesus was left in the middle of the crowd with the woman. And Jesus stood up again and said to the woman, "Where are your accusers? Didn't even one of them condemn you?" "No, Lord," she said. And Jesus said, "Neither do I. Go and sin no more." I think this is crazy. Jesus is working on the Sabbath. He's not following Moses' law. The person we would expect to follow all the rules seems, in these scenarios, to be the least interested in following them. WWJD, what would Jesus do? Break the rules, of course. So, of course, we don't have to follow any of them. No. But does he break all the rules? Of course not. In fact, he says in Matthew 5:17, "Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I've not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them." But Jesus does something that we need to learn from. While the Pharisees were super concerned about keeping the law and keeping the rules, everything just right to the letter, Jesus was concerned about the spirit. The spirit of the law. Jesus reinterprets the law according to the spirit. He perceives the spirit of the law, God's law, not in light of words on the page, but in light of who God is and what his desires are. Did you know? Do you know the purpose of the law? The purpose of the law to help us not be bad and instead be good, right? The purpose of the law is to show us that we can never keep it. It's to show us that we cannot do this. The rules are there to prove to us that we will never follow the rules. We can't. By default, we'll break them, and there's a serious punishment for breaking God's rules. Do you know what it is? death. Death is the penalty for breaking God's rules. When you break God's rules, the sentence that is on you is death. But guess what? There is great news. Jesus. When Jesus died, when he was put to death on the cross, he took the penalty of your sin, of my sin, and it was nailed to the cross along with him, and he took our sin and the death that we deserve into the grave with him, and he left it there when he was raised from the dead, so that not only does he have life, but we can have life through him. Those things that you do, maybe are doing, or that all of us will leave here and do, that deserve death as our punishment, have already been taken care of. As Jesus said, it is finished, and died on our behalf. That is great news. That is great. And if we make our sin problem any less than that, then we don't understand this whole Jesus thing or why we do this every Sunday. Come together and say, thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus, for giving me this new life. What now? Well, now we still live in this world where there are rules we get to follow. It's not a got to now, it's a get to. We get to follow these rules for the sake of each other and for the sake of the world. And if Jesus followed the rules sometimes, can we do that too? You know, do we get to interpret the spirit of God's laws? Honestly, it's easier to just follow the rules, right? Just to have a black and white, like, do this, don't do this, we're good, than to try to interpret them. I like songwriter Derek Webb. He's got this song, A New Law, and he sings, "Don't teach me about truth and beauty, just label my music. Don't teach me how to follow the Spirit, just give me a new law. I don't want to know if the answers aren't easy. So just bring it down from the mountain to me. I want a new law." It's easy to say, just give me the rules and tell me how I can do it right. And I know I've got a lot of math people and accounting people and engineers for whom it's like, yes, I live and die by rules and I don't understand you. And then there are all of us who were taught otherwise that we just need to follow the rules exactly. And I do know that because I was taught that as we're growing up and we're learning more about God. That's kind of the picture we get. Aren't I supposed to follow all the rules exactly? Don't I even know all the rules so I can do the rules? And I think we all have work to do and we all have something to learn about God's heart for us and for the world. It's easier to follow the rules than to follow a ruler. God is our ruler, and his desire for us is that we be a blessing to the world. Jesus' ministry on earth and his continuing ministry through the Spirit of the church is all about healing and restoration and forgiveness and freedom. And you can see all this in Luke chapter 4. It's not just about like getting better and doing better and trying to make God happy. That's actually not the point. It's about seeing God for who he is, surrendering to his more difficult way, which is depending on the Holy Spirit. It's a life of dependence, a life of depending on God, depending on him every day so that God continues to bless the world through you, through me, through us, through his church. But how do we do that if we don't know the rules, right? Here's some of you saying, like, I feel like you're dancing all around this, but what is it? So for all my rule followers out here, don't worry, I got you, okay? Or rather, 1 Peter does. In Peter's letter, yeah, I'm not helping you, I'm going to bring in Peter. In his letter to this exiled, out of place, road gaming church, Peter is giving the church rules for living. And so I just took a bunch of them and just put them in order because it's a thick letter with a lot of different things. So I took a lot of the kind of do this sort of things and I put them together. All right, so he begins, "Just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, be holy because I am holy. Rid yourselves of all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind. like newborn babies, crave spiritual milk so that by it you may grow up into your salvation, now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. Dear friends, I urge you as foreigners and exiles to abstain from sinful desires which wage war against your soul. Live such good lives among the pagans that, though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us. Finally, all of you, be like-minded, be sympathetic, love one another, be compassionate and humble. Don't repay evil with evil or insults with insults. On the contrary, repay evil with blessing. In your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you, to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect, so that those who are speaking poorly of you may be put to shame of their slander. So, what do we do? In a world where people are not all that interested in Jesus, don't really appreciate the church so much, here are a few things. Honor Jesus as Lord. Feel for others, loving one another, being compassionate, humble, gentle with each other. Stop lying, being hypocritical, being jealous, gossipy, slandering, saying bad things about people. Stop those things. And how do we fulfill those few things? By trying harder and being better? Well, we've been trying that and it hasn't worked out so well. So it's surrendering to the Spirit. It's saying, Father, this anger issue I have, this truth-telling problem I have, this hearing you but going the other way thing that I do, I need your help, and I surrender it to you, God. I've tried to do better, and I'm not getting better, and I need you to do this thing in me. So you fill in the blank for yourself and surrender it to God. Say, Holy Spirit, do your work in me, because I'm not getting any better at this, but I submit it to you. And even if I never get better at it, you still love me the same, and Jesus' death is still for me, and his life is still for me. Thank you, God. That's craziness. Well, we have those rules, but how do we know when to follow the rule and when do we follow the spirit of the rule, right? Well, Peter tells us you have to grow up. You got to grow up. Did you know that not only in life, but in the spiritual world, you've got to grow up? Peter says, if you're a baby, you crave spiritual milk. Babies need certain rules, right? Don't touch the outlet. Get your finger out of there, my child. Don't run into the street. You'll get hit by a car. Don't do that. Do eat your vegetables. You need vitamins and minerals. You need to grow up strong. Babies need these specific rules. And as babies become children, teens, adults, the rules look different. If I kept having to say, Bob, get your finger out of the outlet, that would be weird because Bob is a grown man. Similarly, in our spiritual life, you know, if I had to say, if God has to tell us every little thing we have to do, it's like, have you grown up at all? Have you grown up in your salvation? Are you understanding these things? So the rules look different. It's kind of like, make good choices. Look out for others. Be a good citizen. Look at how Jesus lives and, like, do that. So there's that progression in our spiritual lives. We start with the rules, and as we grow up in our salvation, as we learn the ways of our Father, God, we begin to act like Jesus would act because we know him, and we know how he acts, and we know what his heart is, and we get to do that. We get to. Well, my hope for all of us, really, is that we will continue to grow up in our salvation and learn how to follow our ruler rather than just following the rules. And that only happens by the power of God. But guess what? In that life that Jesus gives us, we have everything that we need. We have his Spirit to lead us. We have his story in scriptures to inform us and transform us. We've got our church to support us. It's great news. I want to pray for each of us and for me that his rule and reign over our lives would inform us and lead us as we live as exiles in this world so that we can live out his rules. Can we pray together? Father God, thank you. Thank God for God. Thank you for salvation, for the way that you save us from ourselves and to yourself. Thank you that the way that you've saved us out of death and brought us into new life. By faith in Jesus, you do that. So would you lead us? Would you guide us? Holy Spirit, we surrender these things that we do that are not, they don't look like Jesus would. Surrender them to you. Would you work those out of us? Would you make us a people that is so full of grace and compassion, humility, gentleness, kindness, sympathy, and love that when people encounter us, they say, wait a second, you're one of those Christians? Huh. That's weird. And may they be interested in you and who you are, in your rule, because you want to bless this world. Would you make us a grace people in every sense of the word? We put ourselves before you. Would you do this in us? Thank you for answering this prayer in advance. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.